very cool. I love ending on that 13. Kind of get that minor 13.
Is that what that's called?
I think it's minor 13. Gives you a little bit of tension, like what's going to happen next. Hey, John Bolger with Premier Guitar. I'm here with Mark Spear of Krungmin. Mark, thanks so much for joining us today.
The pleasure belongs to me.
Tell us about this guitar. This is your number one. In fact, it is just the only.
It's the only one I have.
Only guitar you want to play.
Yeah.
Let's hear all about it.
Okay, well, I got this, I guess 2001, 2002, somewhere around there. So I've had it for a long time.
What year is the guitar?
It is probably a 2001 reissue.
Oh, okay.
It's not a vintage or anything.
Yeah.
It's gotten pretty beat up over time.
It looks like high miles on that guitar. I thought it was a 70s era just because of the abuse you've put it through. But a reissue from, say, early 2000s?
Yeah, early 2000s. I think one of the first things to do was probably put one of these in here, a little cruiser.
It's a DiMarzio cruiser. Right.
Because I was doing a lot of sessions, and the engineer would always be like, wow, your guitar is really buzzy.
Sure.
You know, because it's Strat.
Yeah, and that 60-cycle thing.
Yeah, so I put that one in there so I could get much more clean sounds and not worry about buzzing and stuff like that. And it's, at this point, it's made it into the tonal spectrum.
Sure. What I love about that, too, is those DiMarzio bars, to me, really retain that single coily sound, but they just take away the 60-cycle hum, so it's like a...
I don't even really know. I haven't really A-beat it against anything. I just know it's a little bit darker and doesn't buzz, and that's what I liked about it.
Sure.
I think once I got deeper into playing guitar, I was able to get that kind of like that jazzy sound. So
yeah,
that I,
right, love that.
That I didn't necessarily get on a single coil, but they sound great to me. So I put another one here. So the same kind of deal, so I could get high gain back there. This is still stock. It's the exact same thing it's always been. I had my buddy put in a super switch here so that I can switch between stuff, but I actually ended up wiring it, and I wired this one wrong.
Oh.
So it gives you this really...
Right.
Like, that's not a standard...
No.
There's your Stevie Ray Vaughan tone, which I fucking hate. Can't stand that stuff, so... I like that. It's got this really cool harmonic thing happening on top.
Yeah, that's cool.
I think it just sounds like one of those like kind of crappy Sears guitars, and I really like that.
Yeah, it's almost like that. I guess it's a Peter Green thing when he put the pickups in backwards and it made it out of phase. And
the boss of the guitar shop he used to work at in Houston was always like, "Yeah, man, he's like Peter Green." I'm like, I don't know who that is. It took me much later to figure out who he was talking about.
Yeah, but well, that's a happy accident. The pickups. Have you made any other changes other than the
not since that
pickups? That's great.
That's it. There's a Tusk saddles in here.
Oh, that's great.
So because I was just getting tired of having those little metal burrs in the end of the saddle, so it'd break all the time. It's got a bone nut on it. I've replaced the frets two or three times.
Wow. Are those larger than the original frets?
Yeah, way bigger. I just really like the bigger frets. It's much easier to bend on and have more fun with cording, all that kind of stuff. I think initially I got bigger frets because I was wearing them down because I was playing all the time. I was like,
I'll
be playing at church for like 8 hours at a time.
Really?
Like every Sunday's.
Wow.
8 hours of straight playing.
Wow.
So they wore down pretty fast. I was like, just give me taller frets, maybe I'll just have, I won't have to come back here again. And
right, more
spend
room
more cash.
To chew through them.
Right,
yeah.
Exactly. So got those on there, kind of have these same sort of Tusk string trees. They also help with like friction and catching strings. So if I'm doing a lot of, like bending and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's
still in tune. You
know
what I mean?
That's really impressive.
Still pretty good. Pretty good. I mean, I never dive bomb on stage, but if I could, if I did, it'd still be pretty good. You know what I mean? I'm happy about that.
Yeah, that's really impressive. You can bend that far and have it pop right back up. That's great. Well, no wonder that's the only guitar you
have.
Yeah,
I've got it kind of dialed at this point.
That's all you need. Yeah, that's great. So what strings are you running on it?
I used to buy D'Addario Chrome 12s and throw out the huge E and then put like a 10 right here.
Okay.
So this is an A string, A, D, G, B, E, and then a 10. But it's just tuned normal, you know, so
really?
This is an E. It's just like a 42.
Huh, okay.
So, because, you know, you put on a set of flat wounds and it's so stiff and you can't bend and it's got this wound G and it's like, I can't use that. Yeah. But I like the tone of them.
So those are flats?
These are flats, yeah.
Okay. Oh, very cool. Okay.
I've been using flats maybe about 15, 16 years.
Wow. Huh. Cool. And that's just the tone you're drawn to.
It's the tone I like. Also, once they're broken in, they don't change how they sound. They're going to sound until they break.
Yeah. I have some flats on a Gretsch White Falcon that have been there for 4 years.
Mm-hmm. Laura Lee's strings have been on there since she got the bass in 2010.
Wow. Yeah, you need a tetanus shot when you pick it up, but it sounds fine.
Oh man, those are clean. Those are so clean.
Yeah.
Also, like I don't know that you can get into the whole thing of chasing that bright sound that you get with brand new round wounds, and you get like addicted to it. You're like, oh, that has to be my tone.
Yeah.
But then you know you've been playing 2 days in, and then the tone goes away. You're like, well, now I have to buy more strings.
Yeah.
And then you're spending your life, you know, putting strings on your guitar.
Yeah, who wants to do that?
I just want to play.
Yeah.
So once these things are broken in, they're good.
That's good. So how often do you change?
Maybe like once a tour.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. That's
these don't
amazing.
These don't break because there's no burrs or anything. There's no sharp edges. I don't hit the shit out of the guitar. So there's a lot of space to work with.
And you're doing a lot of hybrid picking, but what picks do you use when you're
This is my only pick. I have,
seriously?
Yeah. I mean, you can see it's been worn down to a nub. It's just,
wow, look at that.
It I think looks I have like another one in here in case I lose it.
At one point, it was like a Jim Dunlop green.
It's a standard, what's the Tortex, I guess?
Yeah, the Tortex green 60-something or...
It's a standard
73?
Pick.
Good geek reference by
I don't know.
Chris Keys.
I just really liked the way they feel. They're kind of, the medium thing.
Wow.
But it's been worn down. Actually, at this point, if I play with a brand new one, it feels really weird. So I've just... And the thing is, like, I don't lose it because it just goes right there. That's
Mark,
where it lives.
I really kind of love your Spartan approach, you know? One pick,
one guitar.
One set of strings for a tour.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, speaking of Spartan approach, let's talk about this amp. You're running one amp.
Actually, I have a backup.
You have a backup, which you have to have. Yeah.
Yeah.
Tubes being what they are.
Indeed.
Yeah.
This is the one I use on the road because it looks great and it matches Laura Lee's beautiful basement 10 over there.
Sure, all about the match.
On the record, I usually use a Fender Deluxe, like a 65, like the kind of blackface one.
Sure. And is this the newer...
this is a new reissue.
Yeah, what is the... Is this the like 70s... 68,
I think that's
that's it. 68
Deluxe Silver Face.
Yeah. Yeah,
sounds
and
great. It's not as like, I don't know, it's not as open as the one I record with.
Mm-hmm.
But it sounds normal to me.
Did you change speakers or do anything to it? Or?
Nah, it's just stock.
Huh,
stock
great.
Amp. They're both identical. Hmm. At least in theory they should be.
And running it flat-ish, maybe a little goose on the bass on that?
Yeah, I pushed a little bass up because I leave the wah pedal on all the time.
No,
this I never turn
just
it off.
Gets weirder.
Yeah.
That's
well, you know, like.
Yeah.
So, like, here's the. I usually play with this tone a lot. And if that's off, it sounds very normal.
Yeah.
But I don't really like that. I like it to bite.
Wow.
Plus, when I use the wah, I don't want to hear the click.
Sure.
I don't want the tone to change so much. Because if I'm usually sitting around here and then turn it on, that sounds very different. So I just leave it on, and when I use the wah, just step on it and work it out.
Wow, okay. Okay, that's a good segue. Let's talk about the rest of this pedal board. So plugging a coil into the old school coil, love that. And you're running
this. This is also utilitarian though.
Sure.
Because if I step on a straight cable, I'll trip.
Yeah.
Because there's no give. So I can step on this thing and...
All day long.
No worries. Yeah.
And you're running the wall on batteries. You go through them pretty quickly with it being on all the time?
I guess. I mean, I don't really know. I just take the battery out and taste it, and if it tastes like it's not there, they replace the thing.
Yeah.
I try not to leave it plugged in when we're not actually on stage.
Sure. Makes sense. Okay, so wah into
Then right now it's going
mystery.
Into this, it's not really a mystery, it's just a green Boss phaser.
Yeah.
And I've been using that for, kind of like Isley vibes.
Right.
One of my favorite guitar players, Ernie Isley.
Oh, killer, man.
Yeah, that's the guy right there. A lot of people are like, man, you sound like Hendrix. I'm like, no, I don't.
Yeah.
Hendrix sounds like Hendrix. He's amazing, but I'm trying to sound like Ernie, to be completely honest.
Yeah, that's great.
So it goes into there, and then it goes into this Boss DS1, boutique Boss DS1 stock.
The stock boutique.
Yeah.
They only made a few million of these.
Yeah, only a few million of those. Very standard distortion pedal. I also have everything just basically turned down all the way. Except for the level, which is cranked. So no disc, no tone, all volume.
And how often do you jump on that? Just
Sometimes I'll just leave it on for the whole show. It's certain songs that I don't have it on where it needs to be really clean.
Mm-hmm.
But usually it's just on. And if I want to clean up, I just kind of roll it back here.
Yeah.
And when I want a little bit of, you know, dirt. This tone we got for the record that I thought sounded like a Wurlitzer electric piano. I was always trying to get that one again, but I think it was just kind of a once in a lifetime thing.
You found it during the session.
Yeah, now I can't
never
find
found
it again.
Yeah.
It was using this exact same stuff.
Huh.
No different.
Well, you know, if you're going to find it one time, that's the time to use it while you're recording.
But I usually use this in conjunction with the wah a lot to get those kind of like. Stuff where you just kind of put it in a spot and leave it or do some sweepy bits.
Yeah.
Kind of like a synth. You know?
Sure. Yeah, very non-conventional approach. Let's see. Okay, so from the
distortion, it goes into this mini Boss Dynacomp.
Yeah.
And that just keeps everything the same level.
Yeah.
I put it after everything and before the spatial effects like reverb and delay.
Sure. And it looks like you're running most of the output and very little of the sustain on it.
Yeah, I mean, it still compresses even at that small setting.
Sure.
It's just the nature of what that pedal does.
But fairly subtle. To me, you're not feeling that compression.
Right.
But yeah, that sounds great.
Just enough. And then it goes into this EHX Holy Grail.
Oh, okay.
Usually set around noon or 1 o'clock or so. It just depends on kind of where we're at in the set.
Okay.
That always stays on, just like the Dynacomp always stays on.
Okay.
Into a Strymon El Capistan with this pedal controlling the repeats.
Okay.
So you can do stuff like. And just let it go, or. It can kind of comp for me in this kind of weird way. You know, and I can just turn it off and.
Great.
You know?
Well, and particularly in a three-piece, you're covering a lot of ground.
Yeah.
A lot of sonic territory.
And I don't want to have to rely on like loop pedals or
yeah.
drum machines or laptops and stuff, so.
Yeah, that's a great way to do it because you're controlling in real time.
Uh-huh.
And if something is not going how you want it, you just cut it right there.
Indeed.
Yeah. That's great, man. And powering this with?
On the bottom of the board, there's a... Psyox DC5.
Oh, okay. Oh, cool. Wow, it's like no imprint at all. It's just tiny.
Yeah. I'm actually trying to make it even smaller. I'm like, you know, what can I take off of this thing?
Wow, I don't know. That is about as lean as it gets. That's great. I mean, particularly, again, when you're covering that much sonic territory, to do it with so little, that's great. And it seems like you're just adjusting on the fly mostly on your guitar.
Yeah, it's usually just right here.
Yeah.
The volume knob gets a lot of work.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah.
Well, and your tone rolling it down, that's great.
Yeah, just it depends on the song. Usually flipping between either this one, you know, this pickup, the neck,
yeah,
or the really weird out of phase one,
yeah,
or this guy for like you know, kind of country sound of stuff. You know, People Everywhere is always on this guy. Oh wait.
Oh great.
I was hearing a little bit of a signal thing happening just then.
Yeah, and you're doing and you're using the tremolo from the amp with it. Yeah.
Yeah, I would love to use the Verb, but I think I got into the habit of using that because we were touring overseas and backline amps, the reverb wouldn't always work.
Sure. Yeah. Well, God, it sounds great. Mark, I love the whole approach. Love the whole thing, man. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks.
Till next time.
Appreciate it.
Yeah. Okay, now I'm with Laura Lee from Krungman. Laura Lee, thank you for
Hello.
Joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Let's hear about this very cool bass.
This very cool bass. I got it when I was still in college, and I couldn't really afford a real Fender J bass at the time, so this is a knockoff, an SX bass.
Huh.
And at the time, it was still sort of early on, I think, in the SX days, but they made the headstock that looked like a Fender J bass.
Sure, probably now, before they got sued.
Totally. Now yeah. If you go look at it, it's not as cool.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, it plays like a J bass.
Yeah.
Keep things pretty simple. Mark replaced the pickups for me with DiMarzio Ultra Jazz or something.
Oh yeah, great.
And
probably because of the noise issue, maybe or
yeah, totally. Okay. Yeah, it sounds really clean. I keep foam. I hide foam in here under these.
Oh, cool. I love that you kept the ashtray on it. I think that's cool.
It's so classy.
Yeah, it is. I know most people take them off, but it looks so cool.
Yeah, people always talk about them like it's something that they haven't seen.
Yeah.
And it was like, why would, I mean, it sounds cool if you play up here, so I'm limited to playing in in these spots, but it's worth the limitation to like look cool.
Yeah,
same
totally.
With like, I play with this ring,
yeah.
Which probably makes me play 20% worse, but I look 40% better.
Right.
So it's like, you're
right. Yeah, totally. So you're 20 up.
Exactly.
Yeah, 20% up. Well, whatever it is, that combination is working. So so good for you.
Yeah, and I play flats.
Yeah.
I play flats. And I've had the same set of strings since I got the bass.
That's great.
So they're like 8 years strong.
Wow.
Knock on wood.
Yeah, right. Do you do anything? Do you clean them or anything, or just
Every once in a while. Yeah, especially in here, I wear glitter, so there tends to be some like glitter gunk.
Okay.
The only rounds that I've ever played that I liked were so old that they were basically flat because they were so disgusting.
Yeah.
That they basically were turned into flats. So yeah, I just feel like you get the bounce and the like bump that you can't on round ons are so bingy.
Yeah, I think it's more percussive when you're playing with flats.
Yeah.
Oh, well that's great. So other than the pickups, it's all stock?
All the same. Yeah. I think Mark might have replaced these. But it's all stock.
Yeah. Okay, very cool. And you've got the polytuner up there. That's great. So nothing in your signal chain.
Yeah, I keep it really simple. I don't play with, I have one pedal.
Okay, that's a good segue. Yeah. Let's talk about this one pedal.
Yeah, it's a Keeley like limiter compressor. So it just keeps everything even. And to be totally honest, the only reason that I have a pedal at all is because I was running straight from my amp and I was getting tangled during a performance. So actually it's easier to have the cord coming from the front.
Yeah.
So we thought it was time to bring a pedal in, and actually this makes everything more consistent.
Yeah, and Keeley makes such great stuff, and they're very transparent, so that totally makes sense. So once you've turned it on, you just...
That's it.
Yeah.
I have it marked where I want it, and I stay right there.
Okay.
Yeah, I think there's a lot to do with just this.
Right.
Yeah.
You think about like the greatest, in my estimation, like the greatest bass recordings ever, all that Motown stuff and early, you know, and Beatles stuff, all this stuff was just basically a bass plug straight in and
totally
blowing, so yeah.
Yeah, four strings.
Right.
Tuned normally.
Right.
There's actually, yeah, I remember, like, I did a lot of art growing up, and I remember my art teacher, I started drawing like a human form, and I was trying to mess with the way that it was drawn, and he was like, you can't mess with the human form until you know the human form. So it's sort of, I think it's the same theory, like, I still have a lot to learn just here yeah. before I start adding other yeah. stuff. It's like too many options.
Sure, well that's yeah. great. Oh, before I forget, this is your backup over here, right?
That's my backup.
Yeah, what is this?
And similar, you're gonna notice a trend, but similarly it's a knockoff Hofner.
Yeah.
That I think Mark got in a pawn shop.
Oh, cool.
That sounds awesome.
Do you switch?
No.
Just?
I just have it backup.
Okay.
It's hollow body, short scale. I play it on the record.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe once I've played it live.
Yeah.
But it's sort of cool because if for some reason this was to go out on me, this is easier to play. Because
sure.
everything's more compact and it's oh. lighter. So it's actually like, if something goes wrong, I get a bonus.
Yeah, you can reward yourself.
Yeah, yeah.
Things went bad for a minute, but now they're better than ever.
Totally.
Yeah. Do you know what brand this is?
No idea.
It's got a little kind of a geisha girl up there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, no idea. I mean, it's technically Mark's, but I think it's become mine.
Sure.
Because it's also awesome to practice on because you don't need to plug into anything to hear anything.
Oh, that's great. And the same foam kind of
same
approach.
Same foam. And I still, I'm the same on both. I turn this one and my tone knob all the way up and I never use this knob.
Yeah, same approach. Okay, well that's great. And then amp-wise, you're running
this
Fender Bassman.
Yeah, I have a Bassman 10, which was my first like real amp. I had like a practice like PV amp.
Yeah.
But got this from Rockin' Robin, which is an awesome guitar shop in Houston that is closing, sadly. But they had it and we jumped on it. And Mark was doing tech work there at the time, so I think we got a good deal on it. But it's in perfect shape.
That's great. And then you've got a backup just in case.
Yeah. And it's pretty much the same amp. They changed the color. They changed the color of the light.
Okay.
Yeah, there's a couple slight differences. I think it's a little bit, it was built a few years later. But yeah, most people use it for guitar because it isn't that low or boomy, which is actually what I like.
Sure.
And in Krungvin, because there's only three of us, there's actually a lot of room for me to be higher,
mm-hmm.
Especially on the recording side, because if you're listening to us in a laptop and I'm really low, it literally just sounds like guitar and drums.
Mm-hmm.
So I actually like to be in that range.
Yeah.
I like to hear my fingers. I like to hear the like, you know, peanut butter, you know, sound that comes off of that. So that helps me with that.
Yeah, I love that. And so you've got the backup, never use it, but just in case.
Just in case.
Because God knows if you didn't have the backup, it would die.
Totally.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and she looks awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. I love this whole lean and mean setup.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's great.
Well, simple.
Can we hear a little bit of that bad boy?
Yeah, let's do it. Nope, I better turn it on.
Nope, better turn it on. Yeah, when you said light, I thought, wait a minute, there is no light. Give those tubes a minute.
Yeah.
We'll fix this in post. There you go.
Tuning.
Yeah. You know, it's almost kind of uprighty sounding.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And part of it, it's funny, your upper stuff sounded a little uprighty, and then the lower stuff reminded like Elvis records, you know?
Yeah, that's awesome.
like Elvis, like late 60s stuff. Yeah, that's too awesome. Cool.
Thank you.
Well, congratulations on all the success, and Have fun on the never-ending tour.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
Till next time. Hey, everybody. Thanks for watching the latest Rig Rundown. Guess what? Every week, we upload a brand new Rig Rundown to PremierGuitar.com a full week before it's available here on YouTube. So to get your gear fix as soon as humanly possible, go to PremierGuitar.com/Rig Rundown. And while you're there, be sure to sign up to get an email notification so you're the first to know as soon as each week's new Rig Rundown is available. Cheers. See you soon.